Miss something?
This is a black and gold freight train.
Catch the Hockey Show podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
The Sports Hub, the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, hour number two here on this Saturday as we take you until 11 o'clock. Ryan Johnston, joined as always by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. As the Bruins come off the two-game sweep of the New York Rangers and stick around in the greater New York area and take on the Islanders tonight, we'll talk a little bit more about that matchup coming up in just a bit. But your calls now for the better part of the next half hour at 617-779-0985. Let's open things up with Jason in Weymouth up first. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I wanted to talk about Charlie Coyle. So it's really hard to complain about any players right now, but he just seems to be sticking out to me. Is he still hurt? We heard, before the game's postponed with Buffalo that he was kind of banged up a little bit. Do you equate it to that why he's struggling, or is it kind of a lack of, chemistry with, the flip-flopping of Smith and DeBrus being hurt? Thanks, guys.
All right, what have we thought about Charlie Coyle recently?
Yeah, I thought he was banged up there for a little while. And then they had that the 4 days off, right? And I thought he was one of the best players on the ice the first game against the Rangers. Him along with DeBrusk and Bjork were excellent. That was their best line. Last night, a little quieter, right? Just in terms of – but they keep going back, and it's a simple answer, but – they just wish he would shoot more. And he had an opportunity last night in the first period, I think it was, to let one rip, and he tried to drop it off for I can't remember who it was, but he tried to drop it off for somebody. It might have been Smith, but it doesn't matter. But it got picked off, and they're going back the other way. But he's in this, like, the middle of the slot, and just I think they'd like him to shoot a little bit more. I mean, it's that simple. And I mean, when he's out there, he can protect the puck. He can hold on to it. He can make plays. And he's got 20 shots on goal in 13 games for a guy that has the puck that much. I think, especially the good opportunities, I can see him trying to, dish it off. And, I think Bruce Cassidy was asked about it the other day, and he said, it's something that we just kind of have to live with right now. You can keep encouraging to take those shots when he has the opportunity, but sometimes, he wants to dish it off. But I actually think he's had more jump. He had more jump in the first game against the Rangers than maybe the previous couple of games.
Coaches over the years have been in Charlie Coyle's ear to do the same thing. Because of the chances that he generates, he is so strong. He can carry the puck down low. He can open up space for himself and for other players. But even his teammate, Chris Wagner, had mentioned earlier this season, I always tell Charlie Coyle to shoot more. Hopefully he listens. Bruce Cassidy mentioned to us the other day on the coach's show that, listen, I think that the break probably helped a guy like Charlie Coyle not having to play those two games against Buffalo. But at the same time, it's also a big ask because the Bruins are having him kill penalties. He's also in the power play meeting. They want him to be dialed in, and they need him to drive a line.
Yeah, and the the production part of it as well. Like if you look down, you say, oh, he's got two goals. You wish he could have a few more. But one of the things is he's barely playing on the power play right now because he's playing that second unit. He played some first unit power play last season. Now he's on the second unit, and we've talked about it. They don't see as much time. They're not going to get nearly as much time. They're going to get mop-up time at the end.
Well, if you go back to when the Bruins signed him to the long-term contract, it's a contract that clearly shows that they believe that he can be a consistent scorer in the league, right? I mean, the type of money that he's making and the length of that contract, he's going to be a big part of this team offensively going forward. And so, as an organization, that's what you're looking for. You're hoping that he's the guy who earlier in his career puts up a 20 goal season. And last year, he wouldn't have been too far off of that had they played the full 82 games. He had 16 goals last year. If he can
produce those kinds of numbers consistently, that's what the organization's going to be looking for.
He's a tough matchup every time he's on the ice. You know, he's doing a lot of little things well. I mean, in terms of, he's a big part of the penalty kill now. And this is one of the best, penalty kills in the league. They've been consistent all year long. He's got games where he, you look at him and he's the best player on the ice, and close to it anyhow. And I thought that in the first game against the Rangers, that whole fabulous line was excellent. And, DeBrusque, he drove a lot of that with his speed and his, the way that he played, and then his minutes came down a little bit last game as well. But some of that, because of so many penalties, these guys, if you're not killing and you're on the second power play or you're not on that power play, you're not going to see much ice time.
Well, we've talked in Jake DeBrusque, we haven't really talked about him at all, but that game against New York the other night, he ends up with seven shots. He had 14 shot attempts in that game. He threw some hits. He was, he was very noticeable throughout the course of that game. And, that's coming off of an injury, getting back into the lineup, you've got that, extra adrenaline rush. And he said, going into that game, he just kind of made the conscious choice. He was going to shoot everything. And it worked for him. It stands out. He played a really good game overall.
And he had the assist on the Bjork goal, which was a huge goal at the time, right? And that was that line on the ice. That line was excellent in that game. Were they as good yesterday as a line? No, but they didn't play a ton as a line yesterday either. There wasn't a lot of 5-on-5 play. And then when you have those power plays and penalty kills, so if Coyle's out there killing a penalty and DeBrusque is on the bench and then the penalty ends, who do you come back with? Well, you're probably coming back with maybe a line of like Krejci, Pasternak, and somebody on the left side, maybe a Richie or something like that, something like that. But you're not coming back with DeBrusque. He's got to wait until kind of to get back in line in terms of, get the lines back in order is what I'm trying to say. So sometimes you get kind of lost in the shuffle because of so many special teams.
Well, we've also talked with DeBrusque and with Bjork so far this year and in past for both of them as well about that consistency. And can you find ways to impact games when you don't have seven shots, when maybe the puck isn't finding you as much, or maybe when it's a penalty-filled game and you're not getting as much ice time? And that's the concern, I think. That line showed on Wednesday night how efficient they can be and what an impact they can have, and then they come back the next game and it's nowhere near the same thing. And and that's that continued frustration that you have with some of those players.
In fairness to them, I think when you have as many special teams as took place the other night at Madison Square Garden, you've got to be able to figure out a way to still be as effective in limited minutes. That's the challenge. You're not going to be playing as regularly as you'd like. Well, you're going to have to be able to figure it out. It's almost like, a lot of fourth liners around the National Hockey League. How can I come out in my 10 minutes of ice time and do the things that I need to do when I am called upon?
Yeah, and going towards that a little bit further, Judd, tonight's game, last night,
right,
a lot of hard minutes on guys. You need some of the younger guys now, some of those young legs tonight against a stingy Islanders team, a team that you lost to. This is the only regulation loss that they have, 1-0. It was a late goal by Pageau. It was scoreless for a lot of that game until that one. But so back-to-back, Islanders waiting for you. Played a hard game last night, a couple of hard games against the Rangers. A lot of hard minutes for some of the some of the bigger guys. Judd, you talked about the minutes for Bergeron and Marchand last night. So they're going to need that secondary legs, the young legs here in this one.
And last night, Ryan, late in the game, Bruce Cassidy shortened his bench a little bit. And one of the guys that he took off the ice was Anders Bjork. Mm-hmm. We didn't see Bjork in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Well, he had that one turnover there that I'm not sure what he was doing with that puck, right?
Right. I don't know if Bruce Cassidy.
But he's been way better, though.
He's been far better. And there is something that's starting to build in his game. And I think the Bruins feel like he plays some of his best hockey playing alongside Charlie Coyle. But he only played 2 minutes and 57 seconds in that third period and saw five shifts. So Bruce Cassidy, whether it's the young legs, he's got some choices to make heading into the game at Nassau Coliseum.
Let's go to Ellis in Falmouth. You're up next here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I think what Sweeney has done with the draft pick of Zboros, he withstood an awful lot of criticism about that draft pick. Boy, was I wrong. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who feel the same way that, hey, this guy's worth his weight in gold, it looks like. But the point I wanted to make was, as far as the Bruins are concerned, there's very little to complain about, except for maybe that second line. They've tried everything on wingers and changing people in and out. But the common denominator is Krejci. He's not going to be around next year. I think Coyle deserves to be elevated up to the second line from the comments that you had just made. Have they given any thought about trading Krejci or putting him up on the ninth floor or whatever?
All right. Thanks, Ellis. I guarantee they haven't thought about putting him up on the ninth floor at this point. But I think it does stand out a bit, guys. I know David Krejci is he's a playmaker and he's got special abilities in that. But to look and see, zero goals out of him in 13 games is a little surprising.
Ten assists.
I know.
Set up the game last night.
but even so,
an assist on the only goal scored last night, and that line did it. Yeah, it's been a carousel. We all know that, right? Who plays wings with him? They were hoping Kasha would be an answer on that right side, and maybe DeBrusk on the left. Obviously that hasn't worked for the injury reasons. It's been a revolving door for years. We've talked about this. It seems like every Saturday that you don't know who his wingers are going to be. He's a gifted playmaker. That's what he is. He can change the speeds. He can slow the game down. He can play with some pace, and sometimes they have to remind him of that. But, he can slow the game down and make plays. He doesn't hurt you in his own zone. He competes. With him, he's right where he should be in terms of on the lines. I believe that now they just got to find some wingers and dedicated wingers that can play with him and, mesh with him.
Nick Ritchie had a good game last night.
He was more engaged last night. Maybe it had just kind of dipped a little bit over a couple games, but he was engaged last night. He scores the goal. He gives a little love tap to Shesterkin that gets in his head a little bit, so to speak. I like that. It's funny, the guys that dropped the gloves last night and the guys were engaged, two of the tougher guys on the Bruins team, Ritchie and Kevin Miller, didn't have to do it.
And for Nick Ritchie, so he's got 5 goals and 10 points here early in the season. 4 of those goals have come on the man advantage. His career high is 31 points. And to this point, he's played disciplined hockey. He's only got 2 minors here on the season. That can obviously change very quickly, but very quietly, he's been a good story here for the Bruins in the first month of the season.
And as far as the other part of the caller's question about Krejci's future here, look, we saw what happened with Torrey Krug last year, where if the situation is that the guy is probably not going to be around next year, and we don't really know because of the salary implications around the league and what the offers might look like, what a guy like Krejci, in the latter half of his career is going to get on the open market if he makes it that far. But the Bruins showed a willingness last year to ride it out, use that guy as your own rental player. If he's going to make you better and give you a better chance to win the Stanley Cup, they're not shy about saying, well, if the guy ultimately is going to walk on us and we don't get anything for it, so be it. But we think, he's going to give us an opportunity to compete for a Stanley Cup. And I would put David Krejci, especially the way that he performs in the playoffs, in that category. You want that guy on your team when the postseason rolls around because he's one of the best players in the league at that point in the season.
Yeah, if you were a struggling team, and you're still a long way to go here, but even though I think you pointed out earlier we're a quarter way through after tonight, but yeah. You still have a ways to go. Trade deadline April 12th, whatever. That's when you got to make some decisions. I think it's around there. But you know, if you're a team that's out of the playoffs, then absolutely you're thinking about that. But right now, I don't think that that's even a discussion right now. In fact, I'd be shocked if it was. You've got a better chance to win with him in the lineup, and then you take your chances afterwards and figure it all out.
The strength of the team, or one of the strengths of the team,
is
down the middle. Mm-hmm. And certainly having a guy like that as your second line center behind Patrice Bergeron and in front of Charlie Coyle and Sean Corrali is a strength for the team.
I say it all the time when people bring up the idea, and they have for years, about trading Krejci, is would you get massive value in return for him? Yeah. What does that tell you? Other teams would really, really love to have a guy like that. He's not as expendable as some people around here have made him out to be. 617-779-0985. You can jump aboard with us here as we continue on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Fired out in front, Raff pushed off and made the stop.
Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
They score!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 617-779-0985. Let's get back to the phones here. We got John in the car up next. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
Good.
Quick question. I've been watching the Bruins for a long time. I can't be, more excited about them this year. I just think they're deep from top to bottom. Can you talk a little bit about the guys that might be coming back, Studnicka and Kashe? I don't know if you've already done that or not. I apologize in advance, but I'm just trying to understand. I don't see a lot of value with Kashe, and I don't know if I'm missing something. Seems like the lines are pretty solid, and I'm concerned if they're going to, shuffle them up when guys get healthy. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate the call, John. Yeah, I mean, as far as Studnicka, he got sent to Providence this week. They're going to have him play down there, get a little more seasoning on the wing. He's still trying to make that full-time transition at the NHL level, not just, moving to the NHL level on a full-time basis, but also moving to the wing on a full-time basis. And so, that's been kind of difficult for him. So they're using this opportunity to get him some more time down there playing the wing.
Yeah, plus Ryan, he's coming off injury. He doesn't have to clear waivers.
Yep.
There's a lot of factors that I think that go along with it and how they determine now that the American Hockey League, or at least Providence, is going again. Not the worst thing, right? And you might see him back here. You might see him back here, but in fact, there's probably a good chance. He's a guy that they envision being in their lineup here in the future. And he saw some playoff games last year. Valuable experience for him. Had a really good season in Providence. Not the worst thing coming off of an injury to go down and play some games. And as far as Kasha goes, we really haven't heard a whole lot from it. Pretty quiet. He's had some concussion injuries or problems in the past. I don't think they've said it's a concussion, though. So we're not sure. We assume, but we're not sure. It hasn't worked for him so far here. He had some good opportunities, some good looks in the first round of the playoffs last year. Wasn't able to bury anything, but we just haven't seen enough of a sample size to know if he's going to be a factor here or not.
Injuries have always been the issue with Andrei Kasha. It hasn't necessarily been his performance on the ice, whether it's been a concussion in Anaheim or shoulder injuries that he had in Anaheim. But I think for hockey people, they look at some of the numbers that he put up 2017-18 with the Ducks, 20 goals in 66 games. 2018-19, he's got 11 goals in 30 games. Then he gets hurt. Those are the numbers that they would hope, if he could stay healthy, would translate to a Bruins lineup.
Since he came to North America, what, about 5 years ago, I think the most games he's played in a single season is 67, and that was a split between NHL and AHL games. A couple of years in a row, he played 67 games. He played 30 games for the Ducks 2 years ago. He was 49 games in last year, and then came to Boston and only got, you know, 5 or 6 games in before they shut down, and then came back and played in the playoffs. So, you know, he's never been able to put together a season where he's been able to stay healthy for and play 75, 80, 82 games. And we were talking earlier about Grizzlick, and look, part of, you know, it's the old Bill Belichick saying that one of the best abilities is availability, right? And if you're not somebody that you can count on to stay on the ice and stay healthy, that's, it's difficult to kind of build your lineup around that player and know that he's not necessarily going to be there every night. 617-779-0985. We're going to talk to Billy Jaffe in just a second, but we also have to do our Rodenheiser, Who's Heating Up on the Ice, brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Rodenheiser offering free in-home and virtual quotes for new heating systems. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. Whose game do you like, guys, over the course of the last week?
There's a lot of guys I like. How about, let's go with Charlie McAvoy. So he's the first Bruins defenseman to record an 8-game assist streak, which got snapped last night since Ray Bourque did it across 10 games in 92-93, but he continues to excel.
I like that call. We haven't talked about it yet, and before we get to Jaffe here in a minute, let's talk a little bit about just funny moment, a little bit of a tense moment. On Wednesday night, when Tuukka Rask, I'm not sure I've ever seen anything quite like this, or I don't remember seeing anything quite like this. Tuukka Rask forgot the score and went back to the bench in a tie game, expecting that they were going to get the extra attacker on before being promptly turned around and sent back. Have you guys ever seen anything quite like that?
Never. Never, not anything close. That was one of the questions on the coaches show that we asked Bruce Cassidy yesterday. In your time, starting in 1996 as a head coach behind the bench with Jacksonville, moving to the IHL, in the American Hockey League, even in junior, the National Hockey League, have you ever seen anything that even comes close to that? And he said, I'm scratching my head. I can't come up with it.
I mean, just, you know, look, it's a brain fart. There's no other way to put it, right?
He said he got more texts about that. He said his phone blew up after the game when Rask left for what he thought was coming on for the extra attacker because the Bruins need to tie the game late.
And his handling of it after the game was, you know, perfectly on it. He's like, you know, he made a joke about it. He said, oh, I was going to tell Yarrow something. But he said, oh, I just, you know, I forgot. And Charlie McAvoy said, hey, you know, it's tie game.
Yeah.
Get back in there. But, you know,
he was terrific, by the way, on Wednesday. They do not have an opportunity to pick up 2 points without his performance.
No question about it. And I'm sure that the boys in the room have had some fun at his expense over that, as many of them do. All right. We will talk about what's going on around the NHL. We've got some more COVID stuff going on with the league. You know, teams still having issues. A couple of more Flyers went onto the COVID protocol list. Obviously, there's that Tahoe game for next weekend that is looming off in the distance. And we'll talk a little bit about the Islanders matchup tonight and about the changes atop the Penguins organization. A couple of new old faces coming in with Ron Hextall and Brian Burke taking over in Pittsburgh. We'll get to all of that coming up with Billy Jaffe next here on the Shaws and Star Market Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
right circle. Now the slot fires. He scores!
All things Bruins and the NHL. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Our final half hour on this week's edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. As we take you up till 11 o'clock each week at this time, we check in with our buddy Billy Jaffe. You know him, you love him, from Nesson, the Morning Brew podcast with Andrew Raycroft, and time on NHL Network and everywhere else that talks hockey. He joins us, as always, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Billy.
Hello. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I like that energy right off the bat, Billy.
Well, I figured, unlike the Bruins, I'll get right into it instead of the first period lull.
As Bruce Cassidy would say, you're starting on time today.
Well, every once in a while it happens. You know, every once in a while I get going. It's been a busy morning here in the Jaffe household. So we've been going for a long time, and I'm excited to talk about a great team, and got some fun stuff happening around the league, and some concerning stuff too.
Well, yeah, let's start with the concerning stuff. More players, placed on the COVID protocol list yesterday, including some big names. I mean, Stamkos was on that list. Mm-hmm. You've also got a couple.
But he did say. By the way, I mean, yep. Stamkos thinks it's a false positive.
They're hoping it's a false positive, and it's Who it is it? Worth noting that the COVID protocol list does not necessarily mean that those players have tested positive. It's exactly that. It could be that they are believed to have had close contact with someone, and so they're basically being better safe than sorry. But mm-hmm. for Bruins fans, look, the Bruins have managed to, knock on wood, avoid any of these issues that we're seeing, in some of the other teams in their division. Obviously the Devils have been hard hit by this. Buffalo, that's why the Bruins have had some games postponed. But looming next Sunday is a mm-hmm. matchup in Lake Tahoe, a big day for the league in, an outdoor game that they're hoping will pop a rating on NBC. And the Flyers have 7 players on the COVID protocol list about a week before they're scheduled to make that trip out there. What are you hearing? What are the odds that this game actually happens as scheduled, given what's going on in Philadelphia right now?
Well, I can't give you the odds. I can't, because, Philadelphia, are they being ultra, ultra cautious? No, I think they were at first. Now there's obviously something going on there. We can see that. It doesn't feel like that's going to happen with Philly. But with that said, can they get everybody back by Wednesday or Thursday, play a game? I have to look at their schedule and have it in front of me, and then go play the Bruins on Sunday. I don't know. I know that the first thought from the league, gents, is that if the Flyers can't go and the Bruins are healthy, that they're going to try and sling another Eastern Division team into that slot. Well, I guess it would be either the Rangers or Pitt.
Yeah, I've seen the rumor that the Rangers are probably the
Rangers
pick
seem
there.
To be right. Big name, big market, et cetera. The other option that somebody threw out to me is if it really got too hard and too whatever, is that they would just keep Vegas and Colorado out there and play another game on Sunday. So they're playing on Saturday in mm-hmm. Tahoe. Now, whether that's, again, that's not their first choice. They want to capture the East on Sunday as well. So, I mean, the odds don't feel good that Philly will be able to be doing that in time yet. However, if they're able to mitigate it and keep it to just those said 7 players, and by the way, some of those players could be back by middle of the week if they're cleared, then they have a pretty, pretty full team. The one thing that you have to take into consideration is the Bruins played Philadelphia. Well, today would be the going on the 8th day, correct? It was last Friday, Judd and Ryan, wasn't it? I think it was last Friday mm-hmm, they played. So now the proverbial red flag goes up and you say, okay, well, what if somebody on Philly that night had and then, was infectious, and now are the Bruins in that incubation period? Who the hell knows?
Okay, well, this take that one step further, though, Billy. So yeah. The Bruins have already had one of their games against the Devils that's supposed to take place next week canceled.
If you're Monday, the National Hockey League, and I don't know where the science is exactly on team-to-team transmission, but if you think that there is a chance that there could be some, do you dare have the Devils and the Bruins meet at TD Garden before the Bruins leave for Lake Tahoe?
Not if – well, no, but that's why they've shut down the Devils, Judd. So now –
so does that mean both games are canceled next week? They've only canceled one.
Right now, just Monday's game, because now the Devils are coming out of that, what they call the infectious period, that window. And to where players, you know, if anybody's still exhibiting symptoms, that they probably wouldn't allow those players, they wouldn't allow those players to be cleared. But if you get into the science of the thing, and I don't want to get into all that here, but, you know, that's why people are quarantining for 10 days. Then they say if they go back out that 10 to 12 day, in theory, they're much less infectious than they are when they're in that prior period. And that's why the Devils have been shut down, because A, too many guys had it, and B, I think they're trying to hold out hope that most guys can be back, or at least they can have some semblance of a team if you cobble together their regular team and their taxi squad. And then my guess is they hope that the Bruins can play a game on Thursday. So then the Bruins aren't not playing a game all week before they head out there. But of course, if there's still this worry that they're infectious, they can't field the regular team, then they're not going to have them play on Thursday night.
The league and the Players Association this week announced some additional restrictions as they try to, you know, get this thing back on the rails in some cases, or keep it on the rails in other cases. And I think I think it was Larry Brooks at the New York Post basically said the players are on like a work release program at this point, where, you know, they, except to go to work, are not supposed to leave their homes. And obviously we know on the road that's already been the situation where, you know, they're supposed to stay in the hotel, stay in their rooms, and only go outside, you know, if they want to stretch their legs or get some fresh air, but they're not allowed to go into any place. Look, we all know what the situations are, but this has the feel of kind of being in the bubble without being in the bubble, right?
You know why it doesn't? Because the bubble is a lot safer.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Why it does to me, RJ, doesn't feel anything like it. In fact, like, this feels like a crapshoot is what it is right now. Now, I understand what the league is trying to get to. I do. They're trying to say, guys, we want to play. We know that this sucks for you guys. We don't want it to be like this, but we want everything to be, we want to try and make it to where we get through this as much as possible. I think, Judd, would you agree, guys, we're pretty much past the point of thinking that every team's going to play 56 games, right? Hopefully 50 to 56 will be what every team gets to. But to have the best chance to have as equitable a season as possible, as full a season as possible, you know, they're trying to say this. Now, how do you control that, rhetorically asking, when a guy's got a 10-year-old kid and an 8-year, you know, and a 10-year-old daughter and 8-year-old son, and they're both in school, and they don't, you know, you can't tell them they can't send her to school. So there's still exposure there. We all know that. That's the risk that some of us, or all of us, are pretty much taking on a daily basis. But the league is trying to say, please don't make the unnecessary trip to this place or that place. You know, they're basically begging them to have their groceries delivered. You know what I mean? They're saying, give us the best chance to get through this, where everybody keeps playing, everybody keeps getting paid, everybody, you know, keeps healthy more than anything, most importantly. So it's going to be difficult, though. It's going to be very difficult.
Well, I also think it's going to be a lot harder for the teams and the players that are playing in areas of the country where it's less restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
Where here in Massachusetts or here in New England, I think all the Bruins players are well aware of what the protocol is and what they need to follow, not only themselves, but their families, in order to try and stay as safe as possible. But if you're playing somewhere else,
Tampa,
where it's a lot more lenient, that's what I think the league is trying to do as much as possible. Whether or not they're able to accomplish that, that's what time will tell.
This is where it's going to come down to the teams. It's going to come down to the teams that are going to have to say to their guys in places like Florida, where it's, you know, one big fiesta right now. I mean, the amount of people traveling to Florida right now is, you know, everybody wants some warm weather from the north right now is off the charts, I'm told. I'm told the planes are packed. I mean, the teams are going to have to say, guys, this sucks, but we got to get through four more months of this. Let's get through. Actually, don't even look to 4 months. Let's look at the week ahead. Let's just get through the week ahead, and then we'll take next week. Literally like that. Because if you look at the enormity of, hey, we need to do this for four more months, people, just the mindset doesn't allow them to go there.
Billy, we talked with you recently about the sudden resignation of Jim Rutherford as general manager in Pittsburgh. This week, the Penguins hired Ron Hextall to take over as general manager and also brought in Brian Burke as the director of hockey operations. What did you think of those hires and the direction that seems to signal from the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Well, it's interesting. Take Brian Burke out of it right now. Ron Hextall was really primarily lauded as a drafter and developer when he became the head guy in Philadelphia as they retooled that organization and did a pretty good job. And he was not happy. What was it, four and a half years that he was GM there with how he was dismissed from his spot. When he was with LA, he was an instrumental assistant out there, really helping get their American League team and their system developed, redeveloped again. And he was part of Stanley Cups out there. But yet in Pittsburgh, the feeling is they want to win now. So it's just interesting how they picked that. Now, his presentation to them must have been very strong with regard, opinionated, and he's a strong-minded man, about what they wanted to do with this team that he has in place. It is going to be very difficult. People want to see Evgeny Malkin traded. I'm told, fellas, that he has maybe – he's got a no trade, and he's got, like, maybe three places, New York, L.A., and, well, I don't know, somewhere else, or maybe Chicago or somewhere, where he'll – or Florida probably, because I think Malkin has a house in Florida where he would get traded to. That's it. Letang, people want traded. He has a no trade list of about 18 teams. They're not going to trade Crosby. So what is Ron Hextall going to do? It's going to be interesting to see what he's going to do there. I like Ron Hextall. I think he's a bright man. I'm curious to see where he can go with this team. With regard to Brian Burke, he wasn't sure right away if he wanted to take the job. He had to think about it. He loves the city of Pittsburgh and the sports mentality there. Once he talked to Ron Hextall about it, and I feel like they got their job descriptions, you know, agreed upon. Many people think that this is going to be the wave of the future, where just being the GM and having to do the director of hockey stuff team is too much work for one guy. Aren't we seeing that in other sports already, like football, RJ, where it's bigger? And, you know, Judd, you've been around forever too. I mean, can you see this becomes the norm?
Thanks.
You have been. Well, you're a year old. You're half a year old, not even 3 months older than me. So you are an old, you're an old geezer.
I certainly saw it with the Cubs and Theo Epstein, you know, where essentially he ran the baseball operation for the Cubs. But Jed Hoyer was the general manager making the decisions. Now, since then, Theo has moved on and Jed Hoyer has ascended. But yes, there's certainly some truth to that. Getting back to the Penguins, so if you're Brian Burke or Ron Hextall, your first fix has to be in net and on the back end. How are you going to be able to do that? What are you going to do to be able to pull that off? Because one of the things that Jimmy Rutherford did was, in order to coax out a couple of back-to-back Stanley Cup titles, is he traded a lot of prospects.
Yep, he did. You're absolutely right. The one thing, and I don't have their team list in front of me, so forgive me, but they're supposed to be starting to get healthy on the back end. And that, in theory, should help them a little bit. I don't disagree, though, Judd, that still needs some addressing. I'm not listen, Chris Letang has had some great years. I think they should have – he probably, of the top three boys there, they would have been the easiest one to trade, right, between him, Malkin, and Crosby. They probably should have traded him a year or 2 years ago and gotten something back. I couldn't agree more with you about the net minding. They had to make a choice between Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry. Jarry came at a lower price and what Jim Rutherford felt was a higher upside. I didn't disagree with that move, but I was still not convinced that Jarry was going to be the go-to guy. And right now, to your point, Judd, with that defense in front of him especially, he's being exploited. So now they're using a platoon system with him and Casey DeSmith.
It had been reported this week that there, I guess Was an effort made over the course of the offseason to try to get Marc-Andre Fleury back to Pittsburgh? And
there were talks.
And I think Darren Drager was up in Canada, said there was serious effort on the part of Pittsburgh to try to get him back. Does that surprise you at all?
No, not at all. He is beloved there. Absolutely beloved. And the teammates love him. The city loves him. You know, he doesn't have a lot of term left on his contract. What does he have, 1 or 2 years at most left on his contract? And Vegas had to keep him. You know, they signed Robin Leonard, and they thought, all right, we'll go with Leonard. But then nobody was in the market to take on Fleury's full contract for at 7 or 7.5, give or take. They ended up keeping him there, and they said, look, we're going to keep him here, and we're going to invest $12 million in our goaltending, and we're good with it because we know how important that position is. I don't know if I fully believe Vegas, but that's what they were saying publicly. But everything I heard is that Pittsburgh was trying to figure out a way. Could they get him, but yet not at that full contract to come back?
New York Islanders on the docket for the Bruins tonight. It is the only team that has beaten the Bruins in regulation so far this year. Didn't get off to the best of starts, but it seems like they've started to come on a little bit lately. Talk a little bit about where the Islanders are as they come into this game and how much of a threat they might be to the Bruins' streak tonight.
Well, I thought the New York Rangers, Judd, would you agree or not? I thought they played the Bruins really hard. They're playing a concerted defensive effort. Jacques Martin is a new assistant coach here. He's helping David Quinn out and Greg Brown and they're playing a structured game that's not fun. I think you can multiply that by about 5 times for what we'll see tonight from the New York Islanders, especially with how they play through the neutral zone, guys. They're better. You know, Varlamov, whatever we're calling him today, has been really, really good this year. They put a ton of pressure on him, and he has stepped up. This team is still having trouble scoring. Nelson hasn't been great. Bailey hasn't been great. Barzell has been good lately. They had a game the other night. They lost in a shootout to Pittsburgh and gave up a goal very late. I think it was 16 or 17 seconds left in regulation that Malkin scored. But this is a team that they would like to – they feel that they should be better. To me, this type of team, you guys tell me if you agree or not, they just want to get into the playoffs. Because once they get into the playoffs – then they say, hey, we're going to grind it. We're going to make it so miserable for you like they did in the bubble last year that they feel that they can win a couple of rounds. I don't know if they can. It's a tough way to have to play that way all the time. I think that they absolutely. Second game for the Bruins in a back-to-back. Are they a threat to them tonight? RJ, absolutely. Judd, you know this team. You know how Barry Trotz is. He will have his team ready. And they have a line that they call the identity line, the Casey Cizikas line. The last couple of games, they have played very well, and they have started to score. And so I think that line's going to have, or at least they're going to try and have an impact in this game in particular. They'll see a lot of the Bergeron line.
The other issue for the Islanders this year, they certainly missed Taves and Boychuk on the back end that they had last year. And the D pairs, sounds like Barry Trotz is having a hard time beyond Pelech and Pulock getting some consistency on the remaining four that he has on the back end. And if you look at where the Islanders are based on the cap, they are right up against it. So if Uncle Lou is going to go out there and try and fortify his team, he's going to have to trade some of his young forwards to try and pick up some help on defense, because they don't really have anybody in the minors either that can come up and help out. But that is maybe an area where the Bruins can exploit tonight.
Don't they have Sebastian Aho that they could call? Oh, the other.
Not the
Sebastian.
Right one, yes.
That's right. I forgot about that. How could I forget? Yeah, I'm with you. Their defense is, that second pair in particular hasn't been great. Scotty Mayfield has struggled a bit this year. Nick Leddy as well. You're right. Devon Taves, who's traded to Colorado in the offseason, is a guy that they miss an awful lot. When Barzell's scooting and dancing, though, I said this before, Judd, you'll appreciate this. He reminds me of Dennis Savard, the way he edges around the ice and kind of scoots around. And I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying he has that same control of the puck and the mastery of the edges out there that is fun to watch. He's a weapon every time he's out there.
Oh, he definitely is. But if you take him out of that Islander lineup,
right, yeah,
so he's got 13 points. The next guy on the list is Jordan Eberle with 7 points.
And 6 or goals, right? Five or six or goals. Five of them, yeah. So, I'm with you. Brock Nelson, and they need Bailey and Nelson to pick it up. There's no question about it.
Billy Jaffe, you know him, you love him from Nesson Bruins hockey broadcasts and joins us each week on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy, appreciate the time. Enjoy the week.
Have a wonderful day, guys.
And Judd and Bob, of course, will have the call of the action tonight as the Bruins take on the New York Islanders. It's a 6:30 Duncan pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff along the Bruins radio network. Have a good week, guys, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds good, Ryan.
All right, that'll do it for another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Join us again next Saturday.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.